Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Let me tell you what I want to do. But he said at the end of the day, if what I want to do is not what you want to do, what you want to do comes first. Not my will, let your will be done. And this series is titled, His Will, Not My Want. His Will, Not My Want. Somebody in the room just declare, His will, not my wants. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. How many of you know believers, and don't point them out if they're in the room today, but how many of you know believers that you're like, I don't think that you're a believer like I am. I don't think you know the Jesus that I know. And I know you call yourself a Christian, but I don't know if we're the same. How many of you know somebody with some bad theology? They just believe something that is like, okay, you haven't read your Bible clearly. And a lot of you aren't raising your hand. I need you to know that everybody should know somebody with bad theology. Because the Spirit discerns all things. And so some things are minor, but some things are major. Every Christian you shouldn't be BFFs with. The Bible says we got to know those who we labor with. Come on now. And so there are so many things I see on social media, not of strangers, not on my For You page, on my friends list. And they say silly things. And I'm not even talking about just casual Christians. I'm talking about pastors. I'm like, that's not right. That's not what the Bible says. And I'm sure I've been guilty of getting in my flesh, stepping out of faith, getting in my want, stepping out of His will, and speaking from a want place instead of a will place. And can I just tell you, if you're not speaking from His will place, we need to shut our mouths until we can get our flesh under control so that we can start speaking His will again and not just our wants. That was a good place to say amen. Have you ever heard somebody say, everything happens for a reason? That's bad theology, y'all. Unless you and I both agree that some of the things that are happening for a reason are because we make stupid decisions, then that is the reason. But everything doesn't happen for a reason, and God is not trying to teach you a lesson. And here's my favorite one. If it's God's will, it's going to happen. Not always. Not most of the time. Here's a phrase that Bishop has said many times that he heard. And he said, when he heard it, he said, I don't know if I agree with that. But the more that he meditated on it, the more that he chewed on it, the more that he digested it, he found it to be very, very true. And here is the phrase. The will of God is seldom done on earth. Let me take it one step further. The will of God is seldom done in most believers' life. And we're going to break down the will of God over the next few weeks. It is the will of God for us to not be sick. There's a lot of sickness. It is the will of God that everybody know Jesus and spend eternity in heaven, but there's a lot more people going to hell than heaven. It is the will of God for us to walk a delivered, free, set free life, but addiction is running rampant in our world. And so when I say that the will of God is seldom done on earth, when you understand God's will and then you start looking at this world, you can agree that what God desires for our world, our life, and our relationships, everything we're involved in, we can say it is seldom done on earth. But I am here to tell you, church, it does not have to be that way. That once you know the Word of God and begin to declare the Word of God and begin to obey the Word of God, the will of God can be firmly established in your life. Isn't it amazing that you can be surrounded by all kinds of calamity, but God has you in the palm of His hand or in the middle of His will? And I would rather be in the middle of God's will in a storm than with the sun shining outside of His will. So what does the will of God mean? There's a few things that we're going to point out this morning. God's will can be defined as His blueprint for our lives. If you've ever seen a blueprint, or perhaps you've built a house, or you've built anything that comes with plans, And you've got to provide those blueprints, or you've got to look and approve those blueprints. It is amazing that what comes here first goes here before it is built and becomes visible to everyone else. This building that we're sitting in today was built we moved in November of 2005. So almost 20 years ago, we moved into this room. Now, what's awesome about this room is before we ever stepped foot in it, it was on a blueprint. It was sitting on an easel in Dad's office. What was even cooler about that is before it was sitting on the easel, it was in his brain. Isn't it awesome that before it was in his brain, it was on God's heart? And so it moved from God's heart, God's thought, into Dad's mind, Dad's thought, into a written. That's why Habakkuk says, write the vision, make it plain. Comes from God, comes into man, comes out of man onto paper. And then what we write down, God says he will build. And so I want to encourage you today, make sure that when you write down the vision, make sure it's his vision and not just your vision. See, I don't have an opinion. I have the word of God. I don't have a vision. I have God's vision working through me. I don't have a plan anymore. When I said yes to God's plan, that became my plan. My plan no longer matters or makes sense. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Somebody say peace. And not of evil. Can I tell you that God is thinking about you today? And I don't care what your mother-in-law told you, your ex-wife or ex-husband told you, they cannot speak for God. God is looking at you. God loves you this morning, and God has nothing but peaceful thoughts about you and your situation, and about your destiny or your destination. He says, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. If you're taking notes, got your Bible open, or you got an app where you can highlight, I need you to circle or highlight those last two words, expected end. The King James Version uses that word, expected end. One translation uses expected end, and it says destiny. I love this. Before we get to the destiny, the Bible tells us that God was thinking about us. I've got news for you. God's not just thinking about you in October of 2024. God was thinking about you in 1904. God was thinking about you before the world was even framed, and before he said, let there be light, he was thinking about you. What was he thinking about you? He wasn't thinking about all the mess you'd go through. Wasn't thinking about all the heartache you would face. He is thinking thoughts of peace, but he has already has, before you were born, before you were a glimmer in your parents' eye, he was already planning your final scene. He was already in the end of your life. Can I encourage somebody today? You think that you've been forgotten and that God doesn't see you now. Not only does God see you now, he saw you then, but he sees you and your next. You're worried about October 6, 2024, and he's already in October 6, 2028. You're concerned about the rest of this year. God has the rest of your life on his mind. Not only does he have the rest of your life on his mind, but the children we just dedicated, should he tarry, he's got their grandchildren on his mind. He is already thinking thoughts of peace. So I want to encourage you today. Everybody might have forgot about you, but God is still thinking about you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Circle expected end. Expected end simply means this. I love this. Your destination. Garrett, if you could run up here real quick. And I need you. Let's just do it right here. Make me a big X with this right here. Make me a big X. X marks the spot. While he's doing that, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. Somebody say, lean not on your own understanding. Let's go to verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How many of you want God to direct your paths? I want God involved in my now and my next. I want him involved in my future. However, don't pray, God direct my paths, unless you're willing to do the first part of these two verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Thank you so much, sir. Lean not unto your own understanding. So my first question is, before God can direct your future, are you trusting in him with everything? Withholding nothing? Are you trusting him with your marriage? With your children? With your money? Are you trusting him with your mouth? Are you trusting him with your heart? With your mind? with everything that you do. First thing is you have to trust. And trusting him means that you can no longer lean on you. Some of us are saying that we trust God, but we're still leaning on our own understanding and we're leaning on our own ability. And I've got news for you, and I've said it before and I'll say it again a million times. If you could get the job done, you would do it and you would have done it already. The fact that we are undone and the fact that we have not arrived and the fact that we have not achieved the purpose God has planned for us is because we cannot do it on our own. But here's what God said: I will direct your path, I will order your steps, I will move you forward into the future. But here's what I need. I need all of your trust, and I need you to quit depending on the man in the mirror. You know, we look at so many times as our enemy is the guy that cussed us out. The enemy is our ex. The enemy is the person that's trying to get our job. The enemy is this. The enemy is that. And there might be some enemies like that in your life, but the biggest enemy is the one that stares at you when you're brushing your teeth. And I'm not talking about your dog. I'm talking about the one that looks at you in the mirror. My biggest enemy is not the government. My biggest enemy is not somebody that did me wrong or I did wrong. My biggest enemy is Brandon. And every day I have to remind Brandon, you're not in control. Every day I have to remind Brandon, it is not your want that is going to get the job done. It is not your want that is going to move you closer to God. It is God's will in your life, and so you have to die to self. So he said, you got to trust me in all things, and he said, you can't lean on your own understanding. And then he says this, and this verse popped in my spirit on Friday night when Cruz was talking about acknowledge, in all thy ways acknowledge him. So many of us, church, are focused on the way that we are walking instead of the way, the person of Christ. So many of us are looking at the fork in the road instead of putting faith in the God that's going to tell us which way to go. And so there's a lot of us that are asking God, God, I don't know which college to go to. God, I don't know what to do in this relationship. And God is saying, I will orchestrate your path. I will speak to your path. I will do something in your future, but I need you to trust me in everything. I need you to quit leaning on your own understanding, and I need you to acknowledge me. I need you to act like I'm alive, not just in worship, but in life. I need you to act like I'm in the break room when they're running their mouth. I need you to act like I'm in your office when the door is closed and you want to go to that certain website. Come on now. I need you to acknowledge me. Let's go to the next point. God, his will can be defined as his plan for our life. First is his blueprint. Second is his plan. Next is God's will for our life is settled and unchanging. That point leads me back to Jeremiah 29:11. Everyone in here, before you were born, God knew your destination. We throw the word around a lot, destiny. And destiny is not really viewed as a church word or a spiritual word, but it is in relation to destination. Destiny, to me, is what God has created us for, his purpose. It is not what we do. It's who we are in him and the tasks that he has called us to do. It's the blueprint. It's the plan. It's him laying out our life and saying, I need you to hit all of these marks. So the X that I stand on, X marks the spot. This is the destination that God has for me. Here is something that is very rarely ever preached, but I think it needs to be preached more, and I'm going to start preaching it today. God's will for your life never changes. No matter how many mistakes you made, his will for your life is still the same. You say, I've been divorced. His will for your life is still the same. Well, I've left church and backslid. His will for your life is still the same. Well, I went through bankruptcy. His will for your life is still the same. Well, I actually changed religions for a minute. His will for your life is still the same. And so if I start over here, look at this, church. If I start over here and God says, Brandon, I have plans and purpose for your life. And he said, that is the expected end. He said, I'm thinking thoughts of peace for you. I'm not thinking evil. That's where I need you to be. That is the destination. That is the destiny. That's God's will for my life. Guess what? If he tells me that and I take two steps this way, further away, guess what? It's still the same place. His will has not changed. If I go over here, his will is the same. God is not moving the goalpost of your life, church. God is not wanting you to fail. God is calling you every day saying, get up and go after it again. The finish line is the same place it was yesterday. And then sometimes I make it and I get to this place and I'm standing in the destination that God has for me and I've hit that mark for the day and I'm excited that I had a great day. Anybody ever have a great day in Jesus? And then I wake up the next day and I'm no longer where I was. But I'm reminded His will never changes. His will is the same for me. He still wants me to live and not die. He still wants me to be strong and courageous. He still wants me to be full of faith. He still wants me to be full of hope and love. No matter what's going on around me, that destination never changes. I've come to encourage somebody in the room today. I don't know what you've gone through in 2024. I don't know who walked in or walked out in 2024. I don't know what the doctors have said in 2024. I don't know how much money you have compared to what you had in 2023. But I do know this, that God is still thinking peace about you. God is not running His mouth with evil words against you. And He's saying, I've still got a will for your life and it has not changed. I just need you to focus on me and I will direct your paths to get you to that place. But some of us, we've bought into the lie of the adversary and said, well, I made this mistake and I've disqualified myself. Let's just run through the list. Moses was a murderer. He was not disqualified. David was a murderer and an adulterer. He was not disqualified. Elijah was suicidal. He was not disqualified. Peter was lopping off people's ears and cussing people out. He was not disqualified. There are people in and around you every day that have taken themselves out of the race. God has not done that. I'm here to remind somebody today, no matter how far you are and no matter what you've done, God is still calling you to the destination and His will. You just have to say, it is your will and not my wants. There's a few scriptures that I want to encourage you with because it's going to give us the foundation for the rest of this series. God's will for our life is settled and it never changes. I think of 42 years of living. And I think of how much I've changed. But then I don't get as sad about that because I think, man, for the last half of my life, I've served a God that never changes. And maybe I'm the only one that will be transparent this morning, but if I'm honest with you, my life is like a roller coaster. And some days I have high highs and some days I have low lows, but I'm connected to a God that never changes. And because God never changes, His will never changes. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, can I just tell you about the identity of our God? He said, I am the Lord and I change not. Isn't it good to know that presidents change, but our God never changes? I'm talking to somebody, your spouse has changed, but your God has never changed. Some of you cannot even resolve that the 5-year-old sweet little girl grew up to be that 15-year-old that's talking back, cussing you out, slamming doors. Your kids might change. God does not. I'm talking to somebody that had a job change and a career change, and you don't know which way is up right now. You might be in upheaval right now, but rest assured that the God that holds you, He changes not. God doesn't change. His will doesn't change. Your destination has not changed. You've just got to acknowledge and focus back on Jesus. James chapter 1 verse 17, one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible, every good and perfect gift is from above. How many of you know that you got to be looking above? You got to be looking at the one that gives those gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You've heard me many times quote from the wedding vows. Better or worse, sickness and in health, till death do us part. And I was thinking about that in relation to our God. Because what we're saying, that's a pretty secular expression in people that don't even know Jesus at their wedding. What they're saying is that you should be so strong that no matter how your situations change, you don't change. No matter how the earth shifts around you, your love for your spouse never changes. Can I tell you that life has changed a lot in the 21 years that Mandy and I have been married, but our love has grown stronger because we have made the commitment that I'm not going to let a changing world change me, and I'm not going to let a changing world change my love for you or for one another. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. This is so good. It's also reiterated by Samuel in chapter 15, verse 21 of his first book. God is not a man, so he does not lie. That was a better place than to get three amens. Can I just encourage you? God does not lie. Well, he lied to me. You were following somebody that wasn't God. That was not God's voice. That was not God's word. Very easy. Is it a lie? It's not God. If God says it, it's not a lie. It is that simple. Let's quit making things so difficult. Well, I don't know if that's the voice of God. Well, does his voice that you're hearing match his written word? If the voice that you're hearing or that you feel in your spirit is saying this and it does not match the written word, that is not God. That is your gut. That is what you want to happen. That is what you want it to be said. Or maybe you just had some pizza at 2 a.m. and that's nobody but the pepperonis talking. God is not a man, so he does not lie. God is not a human, so he does not change his mind. The older I get, I don't know if anyone else is like this. I used to be willing to die on the dumbest hills because I did not want to admit that I was wrong. Oh, it even pains me to say that word. But you know what's so easier than to double down on stupid declarations or stupid decisions? You know what takes the wind out of the sails of enemies or people that are coming at you? Just saying, I changed my mind. They don't know what to do with that. They thought they were going to get a fight. You're just like, I changed my mind. I'm so glad that God doesn't tell me to do something in 2023. Me changed my entire life to meet that finish line. And then right before I get there in 2024, God says, I changed my mind. Aren't you glad that we aren't going to get to heaven and him say, you know what, it wasn't just the blood of Jesus, but I needed you to lead personally 500 people to Christ. I needed you to give $50,000 to church and ministry. Aren't you glad that God does not change? He is the same yesterday, Hebrews says, today and forever. Can I just holler at all the single men in the room today? Get you a Proverbs 31 woman that loves Jesus, that looks like Jesus, and that acts like Jesus. Why is that? Because if you are a man that's full of testosterone and full of ego and dealing with pride, you change all the time like I do. But we need to be married to somebody that looks like Jesus, because while we're doing all of this, they're the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is not a man that lies. God is not a human that changes his mind. He has he ever spoken and failed to act? A resounding no. Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Pastor Mandy and I talk on the phone probably 3 times a day. We text probably 30 times a day. I would like to think it's because we're so busy. But what I think it is in the first 21 years of our marriage, I have said things, evidently, that I forgot. And so instead of making a formal contract, we just text a lot of things now. We email each other. I email Mandy probably 50 times a week. And I do that for her and me because I want her to be able to say, Brandon, on September 28th, you said this. No, I didn't. And then she just CCs me in the email that I sent her 3 weeks before. Has God ever promised something that has not come through? Yes, he has to me. Again, that wasn't God. That was somebody else. Maybe it wasn't the God. Maybe it was the God you made that you listen to. Maybe it's the idol you worship that started talking to you and you listened to a God, little g, but you did not listen to Jehovah God, the one that never changes. All of these false religions have men and women that started them, that were prophets in them, that at some point in their life contradicted something they said before. There's gods that at the end of their time said, I'm still looking for truth, when our God said, I am truth. I want to encourage somebody today, you serve a God that never changes. Quit treating God like a human, because he's not. I apologize if I've let you down. I apologize if your mom and dad or step-parents let you down. I apologize if you feel the government has let you down. But I also do have to remind you, those are imperfect institutions and imperfect people, and they are going to change. They are going to say things that they don't mean. They're going to say things that they cannot follow through on. But I am here to tell you today, put your faith in a God that does not move the goalpost, that does not move the finish line, that what he says he means, and what he starts he finishes. Stand on your feet. Psalm 110 verse 4. Man, this is a strong word. How many of you have ever said, God, I believe your promises, or God, I receive your promises, or Lord, you've never lied to me? If I say I promise to you, that's strong. You're only as good as your word. First moment I find out that you lie to me, it's going to take a long time to build trust back. We used to tell our kids all the time, it takes years to build trust, seconds to tear it down. God promising is an amazing thing, but I love Psalm 110 verse 4 because it takes a little further. The Lord has sworn. For effect, I could say, Sister Reba, I promise that I'm going to be the best pastor that I can be. Or I could say, Sister Reba, I swear to you. We just took it to another level. Here in Psalm, the psalmist says, the Lord has sworn. I've never heard anyone else say this. Jesus is not just saying, hey, Brandon, I promise you. And all of who he is, who am I for him to make promises to, that he holds himself accountable to? But who am I? He is the God of this universe. And he says, Brandon, I swear to you. Man, you've got my attention, God. I swear to you. And the Bible says, and he will not change his mind. We're talking about his will, not our wants. But you have to know Jesus first, and you have to know God first. And I have come to reintroduce some of us, because we have learned God the different way. Bad theology passed down from parents, passed down from old churches and denominations, but this is straight from the Word of God. God said, I do not change. And if God does not change, his word does not change. If his word does not change, his will does not change. If his will does not change, his destination for us does not change. God is not moving the goalpost on your life. God is saying it's what it's always been. And whether you've been lost for one day or one decade, his promises remain. The destiny is still the same. You just got to recalibrate your life. I'm going to open this altar right now for people that are struggling between his will and your wants. Or maybe we're struggling with knowing the difference between his will and our wants. I've done the last 6 or 7 minutes the best I can to describe to you a God that never changes. Because the basis of his will is his identity and who he is. And life changes, God does not. Your relationships change, God does not. You're feeling, can I just speak very transparently and boldly to somebody today? You might be dealing with bipolar disorder. That means you change. Up and down, left, right, left, right. Schizophrenia. All kinds of mental disorders. Can I tell you that you changing does not change God? And you bouncing back and forth and fighting forward and taking two steps back and all of these things that you're dealing with, it doesn't change His destiny for your life. When I was young, I did a deep dive when I was actually in Bible school on this thought, the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is God's established will for our lives. That if we said yes and obeyed and trusted Him in every moment of every day and never faltered, we would hit the perfect will of God. And then you're introduced to the permissible will of God. The permissible will of God is when I take a step outside of His will, God will do things to bring me back, but it is no longer His perfect will, but we are now involved in His permissible will. And and that sounds very educated, and it sounds like it preaches and teaches good, but it is simply not true. God's perfect will is always perfect. It has never changed. God does not say, well, you get a secondary will because you stepped out of my will. You get less than in me because you made a bad decision. If God was like that, He wouldn't be God. God said, I never change. I know you change, Brandon. I never change. My plan for your life is still in effect. So I want to talk to somebody. You've had a couple marriages. I'm ashamed. Don't be ashamed. That's a lie from the adversary. You say, well, I didn't do a very good job the first 10 years of my kids' life, and now I'm reaping the benefits. They don't come to church. They don't know Jesus. Don't beat yourself up about that. You do what you can where you're at with what you have. You didn't know then what you know now. And God's will has not changed for your life or their life. But in this moment, this altar is filling up with people that are simply acknowledging God. But now, young ladies, young men in this altar, families in this altar, now it's time to not just acknowledge Him. Now it's time to trust Him in all things. Now it's time for you to put your flesh in check and crucify it and say, nope, I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I don't understand how all this works. So you being in an altar today, or perhaps on the other side of the red light and screen on this TV camera, you're watching today. I don't know what you're, I just need you to acknowledge God, but after you have acknowledged Him by coming to an altar, lifting your hands where you're at today, you've acknowledged Him. That's the first step, but now it's time to trust Him. Say, Pastor, what does trust look like at 12:30 on a Sunday afternoon? I thought by coming to the altar, I trusted Him. No, by coming to the altar, you've acknowledged Him. Trust has to be evident every day, all day of your life. It's not just trust when it's easy. It's not just trust. Check this out, church. It's not just trust when it makes sense. Because we lean not into our own understanding. You've acknowledged Him. This is a word. This altar is not a magical place. It's a miraculous place. And for those of you in this altar online today, you've acknowledged Jesus. But now we trust Jesus. We trust Jesus by operating in faith. We trust Jesus by not letting the systems and the things of this world change us. We trust Jesus by not going back to who we used to be. We trust Jesus by doing it His way and not our way. So if you're in this altar right now, I need you to lift your hands. Our pastoral team is laying hands and ministering to those that are already in this altar. Our prayer team in just a few moments is going to start getting in your ear and walking around in front of you and encouraging you. If you have a need, let them know specifically why you're here. Let them know I'm here to be saved. I'm here to be baptized. Let them know I'm here to be delivered, or I'm here to be healed. Or let them know, hey, I'm here because I got trust issues. I haven't trusted Jesus like I need to. Oh, I've acknowledged Him. I've always known He was here. I trust you, Jesus. God called me. He called me this week. as I was preparing this and putting these thoughts together, Jesus said, Brandon, we're getting ready to go some places. It's going to require a different level of trust. You've trusted me in these things, but we're getting ready to go higher. We're getting ready to go further. So that trust is going to have to be at a level that it hasn't been at. And so here I am as a pastor. If I wouldn't hold the mic, I'd be standing there with you, because here I'm saying, God, all right, I'm already feeling a little uncomfortable because of these things that you're saying you're going to do. But here I am. I trust you. Well, do you have the money to do it? We don't have the money to do what God has put in my heart, but I trust you. All I know is this, church, we got enough money to pay the bills this week, praise God. And then next week, I'll trust them. Then next month, I'll trust them. That's what trust looks like. If you're in this room, I want you to lift your hands to heaven. If you're at your seat and you're at a good place in your walk of faith, if you're at a healthy place where you are all in on His will and your ones have taken a back seat or put on the back burner or just dissolved entirely, you become our prayer partners today. Stretch your hand forward and let's pray for our brothers and sisters in this room. God, there is 4 or 5 dozen in this altar. There's dozens watching online today. Lord, as we lift up our hands, we are saying right now, God, it is your will in our life. Not our will, but your will. Not my wants, not my desires, but God, your will for our lives. Lord, there's some things we want you to change and want you to do, but at the end of the day, God, it is your will for us and not our will. God, I thank you for the blueprint that you are downloading into the spirits of men and women in this altar. God, I thank you for the plans. I thank you for the ordered steps, God. I thank you for, Lord, straightening the crooked paths, God. God, I thank you. I thank you for the power to crucify flesh.